Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, producer Zane here, just letting you know that we are having another patron-only episode release week. This week we are looking at the murder of Dee Dee Blanchard. Once again, Ellen and Jess are taking a little bit of time off to catch up with life in general. Because, you know, life's hard, you guys. So keep sending them positive vibes. They love it when they get messages from you all. And here is the episode, patron-only, formerly, The Murder of Dee Dee Blanchard.
Welcome to the Patreon-only content of Murder in the Land of Oz. I'm Jess.
Hello to our gold members. I'm Ellen.
And welcome. So, I've gone a bit off-brand today because I had a case that I was going to do, but then I had my entire life go up in flames on-brand. So my research wasn't done. So then I needed something quick and good to throw together.
I feel like the kind of thing that we should not be saying. But it is on brand, so what can you do?
It is on brand, but I have been wanting to talk about this case for ages.
You have.
And obviously I can't really talk about it on the main podcast channel because it isn't set in Australia. But a recent TV show based on this case has come out. And it's called The Act, which you can find on Hulu if you are bougie enough and have Hulu. And this is the murder of Dee Dee Blanchard. Now, I find this case fucking stunning, and I've been wanting to talk about it for ages, and I thought, why not talk about it on the Patreon-only content so you guys can hear my thoughts, hear my feelings. So I think this is going to be I think this might be a Patreon-only thing for Jess, that she's just going to pick some nice Norse murders that she likes. Keep it tight. Keep it Norse, you know. Tight. Zane is shaking his head. Ellen is looking at me from Skype going like, I am
right
fucking
now
tired.
Like,
I just spoke about Ned Kelly for 2 hours and I'm not emotionally ready for this. No, this is a really complicated case. It's really unfortunate for a lot of people involved, not only Dee Dee, who was murdered, and her daughter Gypsy, but also the entire community surrounding Dee Dee and Gypsy that were taken advantage of for a really, really long time. But yeah, let's get stuck into it, shall we?
Yes. Also, okay. In a Murder in the Land of Oz first, I also know something about this case. So like we can have like a dialogue. Usually we don't know anything about the cases that the other
Usually we
covers.
Don't know anything about everybody else's cases. Yeah, no, that's stunning. Okay, so Gypsy Rose Blanchard was an inspirational little girl. Bound to a wheelchair, Gypsy Rose fought leukemia, muscular dystrophy, seizures, hair loss, teeth loss, and was even displaced by Hurricane Katrina. Through many charitable organizations, including Make-A-Wish, Habitat for Humanity, Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her mother Claudinia, or Dee Dee Blanchard, were blessed with a wheelchair-accessible house in Missouri and a lifetime of wonderful luxuries and experiences that only some people could dream of. For this little girl, a life that seemed destined for heartache and pain, she was truly blessed. But on June 14th, 2015, Dee Dee Blanchard was found stabbed to death in her bedroom and the disabled Gypsy was nowhere to be found. An ominous post on the Facebook account shared by both the mother and the daughter had a status update reading, "That bitch is dead." Oh, intrigue. Friends and family assumed that the...
Savion Blanc,
right? Friends and family assumed that the page had been hacked. and that the two were merely discussing their reactions to a movie that they were watching, lol, when suddenly a follow-up comment appeared saying, "I fucking slashed that fat pig and raped her sweet, innocent daughter. Her scream was so fucking loud, lol."
Lol.
Gross. Don't like that. So friends and people in the community surrounding Dee Dee and Gypsy were obviously really, really worried. They tried ringing. They tried knocking on the door. They obviously couldn't get in. Their house was all locked up, but the car was then brand new car was still available in the – was still in the driveway. So obviously they couldn't have gone far, seemingly. So they couldn't get into the house, so they ordered they rang the police for a wellness check saying that there's a mother and daughter, the daughter's
like you would they order the Uber. Police.
They asked the police
like the police are 3 minutes away in a Hyundai.
Shut up, I'm tired. They asked the police to do a wellness check saying that they had a mother and daughter. There'd been some problematic stuff put up on social media. The daughter was severely disabled and very ill, and they just wanted to make sure that they were okay. And when police entered the property, they found Dee Dee's dead body. She was lying in her bed and she was covered with a sheet and had been stabbed several times. A few days later, also, important information, Gypsy wasn't in the house. So this is a girl that has
all these ailments.
Several illnesses, is wheelchair bound, like is completely reliant on her mother to get from A to B. And all of Gypsy's wheelchairs were still in the house. So she had three wheelchairs. They were all still in the house. The car was still there. It's like, where's Gypsy? She's obviously been abducted or something like that.
Something terrible's happened to Gypsy as well.
Something terrible has happened to Gypsy as well. So a few days later, Gypsy was actually found completely unharmed in Wisconsin, which is a couple of states over. So many people feared that Gypsy was going to have irreversible damage from missing some of her treatments and medications from the kidnapping. But there was an even bigger problem they discovered, because when the police went to answer the door and when they found Gypsy, she could fucking walk, couldn't she? Even though Dee Dee and Gypsy had been telling everybody that she was fucking paralyzed and that she couldn't get out of her wheelchair.
Wait, did Gypsy answer the door? Did she walk up to the door?
Or she walked up.
Immediately saw her walking?
No. So the Nick Godejohn, who we'll get to in a minute, answered the door, and then Gypsy came to the door walking. And the police like, well,
cover busted immediately.
Yeah, exactly right, you know. So let's go back to the top, shall we?
Yes.
Dee Dee Blanchard was born Claudine Pitre, I think I'm saying that right, in Chack Bay. What a fucking classic. Stunning name. Chack Bay. Chack Bay. Chack Bay, Louisiana. Chack Bay, mate. Which is near the Gulf Coast in 1967, which she grew up with her family nearby in Golden Meadow. Dee Dee was doted on by her mother. She was often regarded by her siblings as like the golden child. She was the youngest. And her mother would often say, oh, Dee Dee's too, like she would made up this thing that like Dee Dee had like a heart problem, so she couldn't do this and she couldn't do that. She was really, really spoilt. None of the other children in Dee Dee's family had been given a car. Dee Dee was. None of the other children in the family had their education paid for to go to college or anything like that. Dee Dee did. So Dee Dee was also a former beauty queen. There's this really horrific video of her in this like – so the only way I can sort of like assimilate this picture in my head to some sort of pop culture reference is like the thing in the Little Mermaid that King Triton puts his trident into. That's what the back of Dee Dee's dress looks like. She looks like a fucking drag queen. It's so wild. Also, during her childhood, relatives said that she would be involved in like petty theft, often as a retaliation for things not going her way. So she was a spoiled bitch. At some point during her adult life, she also worked as a nurse's aide. So when her mother, so after Dee Dee's death, And the family also expressed a suspicion that she might have actually had something to do with her own mother's death. Dee Dee might have had something to do with her own mother's death in 1997 by denying her her food. So when Dee Dee was 24, she became pregnant with a daughter by a man named Rod Blanchard, who was only 17 at the time, and Dee Dee was 24. Could you imagine? So Gypsy Rose, interesting name, because there was a famous stripper called Gypsy Rose Lee, which is, yeah, which is the basis of the fucking stunning, fantastic musical Gypsy. Turns out Dee Dee Blanchard didn't know anything about Gypsy Rose Lee, so that's not where Gypsy got her name from. So Claudine or Dee Dee liked the name Gypsy, and her middle name Rose was because Rod was a fan of Guns N' Roses. So shortly before Gypsy Rose's birth in 1991, Rod and Dee Dee they separated. And in 2017, Rod had said that they'd just gotten married for really all the wrong reasons. Despite Dee Dee's efforts to get him to return, he didn't. And so she took newborn Gypsy with her to live with her family. So Bobby, who's Dee Dee's nephew, recalls that Gypsy's birth might have been slightly premature, which, may have affected the development of her skull. But other than that, she had no health issues when she was born. According to Rod Blanchard, who remained involved with his daughter's life, was involved with Gypsy by this time. She was known as Gyp at 3 months old. Around 3 or 4 months old, Dee Dee was convinced that Gypsy was suffering from sleep apnea and began taking her to the hospital where there was like repeated overnight stays with a sleep monitor and other tests, but there was like tests were done and there was found like no sign of the condition. Nevertheless, Rod recalls that Dee Dee became convinced that Gypsy had a wide range of health issues, which she attributed to an unspecified chromosomal disorder. So when Gypsy was about 7 or 8, Bob, Dee Dee's nephew, recalls that Gypsy was riding around on her grandfather's motorcycle and he had a minor accident. So Gypsy got like an abrasion, so basically like a scrape on her knee, which her mother said was a visible sign of injuries that would require several hours of surgery to treat properly. Ooh. From then on, Gypsy was confined to a wheelchair, although Bobby saw no signs of that, and that she thought he thought she was just healthy enough to walk on her own. So she often went with her mother to the Special Olympic events. And in 2001, Dee Dee claimed that when Gypsy was 8, she was named the honorary queen of crew of Mid-City Parade, a child-oriented parade held during the Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Okay, interesting. So Gypsy seemed to have stopped going to school actually in year 2. Or the second grade to our US, our friends of the USA. And it actually might have been even as early as kindergarten, but she had no school records. Her mother, Dee Dee, homeschooled Gypsy. That was supposedly because of her illnesses and that she didn't want her immune system to get affected. And because her illnesses were so severe, Gypsy actually managed to learn to read on her own, like teach herself how to read. Getting through the Harry Potter books. Gypsy's father, Rod, actually remarried. Dee Dee moved in with her father and stepmother. They would later claim that Dee Dee, when preparing food for her stepmother, poisoned it with Roundup weed killer, leading to her own chronic illnesses during this period. During that time, she was also arrested for several minor offenses, including writing bad checks. Oh, no. So when her family was confronting her, totally messed that up. So Dee Dee accused her stepmother of poisoning Gypsy, which she thinks started Gypsy's chronic illnesses during this time. So Dee Dee's family accused her of poisoning her own stepmother when she was preparing her food, which led to her stepmother's own chronic illnesses at this time. So she was arrested for some minor offences, including writing bad checks, which I think is so weird. Her family was actually starting to confront her about the treatment of Gypsy and express suspicion about her role in the stepmother's health. And so she packed up and left to another city, although the family would not know this for several years later. Her stepmother's health suspiciously went back to normal after Dee Dee's disappearance. Big off. So they were living in a place called Slidell, and she and Gypsy, Dee Dee and Gypsy, were living in public housing. They paid their bills using public assistance. Dee Dee had been, which she had been granted because of, oh, I'm so sorry, I was off mic. Dee Dee had been granted public assistance because of Gypsy's supposed medical conditions. And yeah, and also they were getting alimony payments, which I have to say, Rod was, you know, delivering every month, you know, regardless of the problematic relationship that he had with Dee Dee, he was still supporting his daughter, which I think is, you know, a testament to him. He is a man of integrity. Yeah. Because a lot of people get away with not paying alimony. It's real shit. So they spent most of their time visiting specialists, mostly at the Tulane Medical Center and the Children's Hospital of New Orleans, seeking treatment for the illnesses that Dee Dee claimed that Gypsy had, which he now said included hearing and vision problems. During a muscle biopsy, they found no sign that Gypsy had muscular dystrophy that Dee Dee insisted that Gypsy had. But she was successful in securing treatment for her daughter's other purported issues. After this, she told doctors that Gypsy had seizures every few months, and they prescribed anti-seizure medication. Several surgeries were performed on Gypsy during this time, and Dee Dee regularly took Gypsy to the emergency room for minor ailments. And then a thing called Hurricane Katrina happened. So that was a devastating tornado. No, it was a hurricane, hence the name Hurricane Katrina. Oh, no, that's the stupidest thing I've ever said, isn't it? Zane, keep that in. After Hurricane Katrina devastated the area of New Orleans in August of 2005, Dee Dee and Gypsy left their ruined apartment for a shelter in Covington, which was set up for individuals with special needs. Dee Dee said that Gypsy's medical records, including her birth certificate, have been destroyed in the flooding. A doctor there from Ozark suggested that they relocate to their native Missouri, and the next month they were airlifted there by a helicopter. I saw footage of it. It was fucking wild. So at first, Dee Dee and Gypsy lived in a rented home in Aurora in the southwestern area of the state. During this time, Gypsy was honored by the Olay Foundation, which advocates for the rights of feeding tube recipients, because Gypsy had been administered a feeding tube because apparently she couldn't eat on her own. And Gypsy had described it as being she was fed 80% of the time with a feeding tube, and some the other 20% she would sometimes, you know, eat stuff orally normally. In 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a small house with a wheelchair ramp and a hot tub, which was a part of a larger project on the north side of Springfield. You might know that from The Simpsons. To the east, and that's where they moved. So the story of a single mother with a severely disabled daughter forced to flee Katrina's devastation received a lot of media attention locally, and the community pitched in to help. The woman who now had gone, fucking Fifi Doll. She's making a racket, Ellen. She's making a fucking racket. So Dee Dee was now going by Claudinia Blanchard, and who everyone knew as Dee Dee. So there was an outpouring of support, which included a fuck ton of money. In Louisiana, the mother and daughter availed themselves on the occasional stays in the Ronald McDonald households during medical appointments. So they received a fuck ton of money because of all of this. Mm-hmm. They had occasional stays at the Ronald McDonald House during medical appointments. They received free flights to see doctors in Kansas City, free trips to Walt Disney World, and holla at your girl because she's fucking going to scammed. Disney World in fucking June, and she is so bloody keen for it, son. It's going to be great.
All right, you don't brag.
And backstage passes to see Miranda Lambert. You would know her because you like country music.
I love Miranda Lambert.
You made me go to a country bar, didn't you, that one time?
I did. I will never forgive Blake Shelton for breaking Miranda Lambert's heart.
Yeah, because he's with Old Mate, Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, Gwen Stefani.
You liked Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, well, I don't really respect her for, like, breaking up a marriage. But anyway, that's, like, a problematic opinion we can dive into. We'll talk about that later.
So Gypsy
was... That's Mitlu After Dark.
Mitlu After Dark, our dating and lifestyle podcast. So Dee Dee and Gypsy were frequently photographed backstage with the singer, and Miranda Lambert actually, from her personal account, gave Gypsy and Dee Dee $3,500. Yep.
They scammed Miranda?
Uh-huh, doll. Yep. And also there's, like, photos with her and Elijah Wood because she loved Lord of the Rings, and she also met Blake Shelton. Mm-hmm. So wild, wild, wild.
Wild, wild west.
So Rod Blanchard also, as I said, continued to make monthly child support payments of $1,200, as well as sending Gypsy gifts and occasionally talking to her on the phone. During one call on her 18th birthday, he recalls Dee Dee telling him not to mention his daughter's real age, saying that she thinks she's 14 because that's not problematic.
Does she think that?
Rod and his second wife regularly hoped they'd get to Springfield to visit, but for a variety of reasons, Dee Dee would change the plans at the last minute. She told her neighbours in Springfield that Gypsy's father was an abusive drug addict and an alcoholic who had never come to terms with his daughter's health issues and never sent them any money, which was obviously not true. People who met Gypsy were charmed by her. She was all of 5 feet tall, so 150 centimetres. Obviously, a lot of her growth was probably stunted by the obscene amount of medications that she took that she didn't
unnecessary
need.
Unnecessary medication.
And also being on a feeding tube for so long. And she also had a nearly toothless mouth. She had, because of all of, especially the anti-seizure medication that causes a lot of damage to your teeth, which her mother would then blame on reflux. So she saw, like, gastroenterologists and stuff like that to, you know, and she had to have the majority of her teeth pulled out. She had large glasses and a high childlike voice, which reinforced the perception that she was much younger than she was and that she had all of the problems that her mother said that she did. She often wore wigs and hats to cover her baldness, and Dee Dee would actually regularly shave Gypsy's hair to mimic the hairless appearance of a chemotherapy patient because supposedly Gypsy had leukemia. When they left the house, Dee Dee would often take an oxygen tank and the feeding tube with them. Gypsy was fed the children's liquid nutrition supplement Pediasure as far into her 20s as, you know. So Dee Dee used physical abuse to control her daughter, always holding her daughter's hand in the presence of others whenever Gypsy said something that either suggested that she was not really sick or seemed above the purported mental capabilities. Gypsy recalled that her mother would give her a very tight squeeze of the hand. When the two were alone, Dee Dee would strike her with open hands or even a coat hanger. Medical interventions continued. Dee Dee had some of Gypsy's saliva glands treated with Botox and then later on extracted them altogether to control her drooling, which Dee Dee would say that Gypsy would choke on her own saliva. And Gypsy later claimed that her mother induced by putting, like, a topical anesthetic to numb her gums before doctor's visit, so that would make the appearance of her drooling.
That
so
she
then
was drooling. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's fucked.
And then they took the saliva glands out. Also, tubes were implanted into her ears to control her myriad of ear infections. Fuck, I hate ear infections. I get them all the time. It's so annoying. So
you know who didn't get them? Gypsy Rose.
Definitely not.
It was made up.
So Bernardo Flasterstein, I think that's how, that's F-L-A-S-T-E-R, Flasterstein. No, that's right. He was a pediatric neurologist who saw Gypsy in Springfield, became suspicious of her muscular dystrophy diagnosis. He ordered MRIs and blood tests, but actually found no abnormalities, and he couldn't see a reason why Gypsy couldn't walk. And he told that, he said that to Dee Dee on a follow-up after seeing Gypsy stand up and support her own weight. Oh, my God. Flasterstein noticed that Dee Dee was not a good historian of Gypsy's medical records. After contacting Gypsy's doctors in New Orleans, he learned that Gypsy's original muscle biopsy had come back negative, undermining Dee Dee's diagnosis of muscular dystrophy, as well as her claim that Gypsy, Dee Dee's claims that Gypsy's records had been destroyed by Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
He suspected a possibility of Munchausen's by proxy. Woohoo!
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding,
the
ding,
the only
ding.
Correct diagnosis in this.
Yeah, exactly, so far. So, for those of you playing at home, Munchausen syndrome by proxy is a mental health problem in which a caregiver makes up a cause and makes up causes or illnesses. Makes up or causes illnesses or injuries in a person under his or her care, such as a child or an elderly adult or a person who has a disability. Vulnerable people are victims. MSBP is a form of child abuse or elder abuse. Doctors aren't sure what causes it, but it might be linked to problems during the abuser's childhood. And it is also discussed in a documentary that I watched that I will link in the show notes, that Dee Dee's mother actually suffered by either a form or a lesser form of Munchausen's and forced that upon Dee Dee, because I mentioned before she would say that Dee Dee had like heart problems that she couldn't do things and stuff like that. So that might have stemmed from Dee Dee's childhood. Abusers often feel like that their life is out of control, which is interesting because you look at images of Dee Dee and Gypsy's house and the place looks like a fucking hoarder nightmare. Like it's absolutely cooked. But then the creepy bit is they opened a cabinet in Dee Dee and Gypsy's house and it was the medicine cabinet, and I've never seen anything look so methodical in my entire fucking life. It was very creepy. So people that suffer Munchausen's by proxy often suffer from poor self-esteem, and they also can't deal with stress or anxiety. The attention that caregivers get from having a sick child may encourage their behavior. Caregivers may get attention from not only doctors and nurses, but also from others in the community, much like Dee Dee and Gypsy were. For example, neighbors might try to help the family in many ways, such as doing chores or bringing meals or giving money, which was definitely the case with Gypsy and Dee Dee.
Definitely the case, yeah.
A person with Munchausen syndrome by proxy often has medical skills or experience, seems devoted to his or her child, looks for sympathy and attention, tries too hard to become close and friendly with medical staff, needs to feel powerful and in control, and does not see his or her behavior as harmful. I just want to say it is a form of child abuse, and if you do suspect that someone is a victim, don't confront the suspected caregiver because obviously they're going to deny it. And it might make the problem worse. So if you do see signs, keep a journal of the child or the person's symptoms and other related events. Talk with a doctor about your concerns, and also report your concerns to a welfare agency. And you can make a report without using your name, and you'll remain anonymous.
You'll be sweet. Mm-hmm.
So Dee Dee got access to Flasterstein's notes about Gypsy and actually stopped taking Gypsy to see him because, you know, he obviously was realizing that Gypsy wasn't as sick as Dee Dee was letting on. The shitty thing is that Flasterstein actually didn't follow up by reporting Dee Dee to social services. He said he'd been told by other doctors to treat the pair with golden gloves and doubted that the authorities would believe him anyway, which is really shitty for Gypsy.
That's messed up.
Because a lot of this stuff could have been avoided. In 2009, an anonymous caller told the police that Dee Dee's use of different names and birth dates for herself and her daughter and suggested that Gypsy was in better health than Dee Dee claimed. Officers performed a wellness check, but accepted Dee Dee's explanation that she used that they were misinformed and it would, you know, her changing her name would just make it harder for her abusive ex-husband to find her. Or her seeming, right. Like what she led on her abusive ex-husband to find her and Gypsy. And they actually didn't corroborate this story with Rod and reported that Gypsy seemed to be genuinely mentally handicapped. So the file was closed.
Fuck.
So while people that were closest to Gypsy still believed that she was a teenager, by the 2010s, she was in fact an adult and began to test the limitations of her mother's scheme. A neighbour recalls an incident between either 2009 or 10 where Gypsy showed up at her door one night without her wheelchair, seeking a ride to a local hospital to visit a man with whom she shared a romantic interest. The man had been assaulted by a group of people familiar with Gypsy's medical history who felt that he was taking advantage of the mentally challenged underage girl. At the hospital, Gypsy produced a birth certificate that gave her correct date of birth and proving that she was of legal age. Dee Dee then had showed up at the hospital where she said that the birth certificate was an incorrect version, which was issued because of Katrina, and apparently proving with the real birth certificate giving a more recent birth date. Reportedly, Gypsy was made to apologize to all people that were present at the time.
That is so fucked up.
Yeah. So since 2001, Gypsy and her mother had been attending sci-fi conventions, sometimes in costume. Since she could blend in, even in her wheelchair, at an event in 2011, she made what may have been a escape attempt that ended with her mother finding her in a hotel room with a man that she had met online. Dee Dee had produced paperwork giving Gypsy's false younger birth date and threatened to inform the police. Gypsy recalled that afterward, Dee Dee smashed her computer with a hammer and threatened to do the same with her fingers if she ever tried to escape again.
Fuck.
She also kept Gypsy leashed and handcuffed to her bed for 2 weeks, which is terrifying. Yeah. Dee Dee later told Gypsy that she had filed paperwork with the police claiming that Gypsy was mentally incompetent, leading Gypsy to believe that if she attempted to go to the police for help, that they would not help her. Sometime around 2012, Gypsy, who continued to use the internet after her mother had gone to bed so she could avoid tighter supervision, made contact with a man called Nicholas Godejohn, a man who was around her age from Big Bend, Wisconsin. She claimed they'd met on a Christian singles group. Godejohn had some issues of his own. He had a criminal record of indecent exposure. Turns out he got caught masturbating in a McDonald's, which I think is one of the most mortifying things I've ever fucking heard.
Why am I more horrified by the fact it was in a McDonald's?
Yeah, right. He had also a history of mental illnesses and stated to be at times either suffering from dissociative identity disorder or autism.
Autism.
Okay, 2014. Gypsy confided in one of her neighbours, Aaliyah Woodmansey, who was 23 at the time and was unaware that Gypsy was actually much closer to her age than she thought, and she considered herself a big sister to Gypsy. So Gypsy told Aaliyah that she and Godejohn had discussed eloping and they'd even chosen names for their potential children, but Aaliyah has said in interviews following this whole event that it was hard to discern like whether or not this was just like a fantasy that Gypsy had constructed. Yeah. So Gypsy had 5 separate Facebook accounts and her and Godejohn would flirt online. They exchanged their exchanges often included BDSM elements, which Gypsy has since claimed that was more what he was interested in. Aaliyah tried to talk her out of it, still thinking that Gypsy was way too young and that she was possibly getting taken advantage of by a sexual predator. She considered Gypsy's plans to be, as I said, just fantasies and that they would never actually take place. Despite Dee Dee's efforts to prevent her, to prevent Gypsy from using the internet, which went as far as destroying her phone and her laptop, she maintained contact with Aaliyah, who saved printouts of posts that Gypsy shared. And this was up until about 2014. The next year, Gypsy arranged and paid for Godijohn to meet her and her mother in Springfield. Her plan was for him to just bump into her while she and Dee Dee were at the movies. They were both going to see Cinderella, the 2015 live-action version.
The live-action version.
And they wanted to, like, strike up a relationship in that way and then for, like, her to introduce him to her mother. But as soon as they
to, like, approve.
As soon as – so they met up in real life. They went and sat in the cinema and then Gypsy left to go to the bathroom and Nick Godijohn left at the same time. Gypsy actually led him into the bathroom where they had sex on their first meeting. She apparently didn't find him desirable in person as he seemed online, and Dee Dee actually described him as creepy, but they continued their internet interactions and right. That's when they just started developing their plan to murder Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
So Godijohn returned to Springfield in June of 2015, and this was when Gypsy and her mother were away at a doctor's appointment. After they had returned, Dee Dee went to sleep and Gypsy texted Godijohn saying that her mother was asleep, and he arrived at the Blanchard house. Gypsy let him in and allegedly gave him the duct tape, the gloves and the knife with the understanding that he would use it to murder Dee Dee. And Gypsy claimed that later on that she didn't expect him to be able to do it. Godijohn then supposedly ordered Gypsy to hide in the bathroom and cover her ears so that she wouldn't have to witness the death of her mother. Godijohn then stabbed Dee Dee several times in her sleep. The two, Gypsy then had sex with Godijohn in her room, took $4,000 in cash that Dee Dee had been keeping in the house. Mostly they were payments from child support. And then Gypsy and Godijohn then fled to a motel outside of Springfield. They remained there for several days while planning their next move. During that time, they were seen on security cam. Like, it was not clever what they did. And in one of the one of the 2020 specials I was watching today, this guy described it, I thought quite brilliantly, as like a Hansel and Gretel crime that they were sort of like leaving breadcrumbs everywhere, like receipts and security camera footage and like. I mean, they were cab drivers and stuff like that. And then they were like, not children, but very young. Naive.
Naive, exactly.
Yeah. So they managed to get away. Gypsy said at that point she thought that they'd gotten away with it. They mailed the murder weapon back to Godijohn's home in Wisconsin to avoid being caught with it. And then they took a bus back to Wisconsin. So several witnesses saw the pair at the Greyhound station and noticed that Gypsy wore a blonde wig and that she was walking unassisted because, as I said earlier, all of Gypsy's wheelchairs were back at the house.
At the house.
Okay, so we're afternoon of June 14th and 2015, at Gypsy's urging, Nick Godijohn used his phone to post two updates to Dee Dee and Gypsy's Facebook page so that people would discover the body. The first read, as I said, "The bitch is dead," followed 17 minutes later by a longer comment suggesting that whoever left it had violently killed Dee Dee and raped Gypsy. Gypsy would later state that she was concerned that several days had passed without anyone discovering her mother's body and that she hoped that someone would report the ominous message to the police that they would find Dee Dee's body.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the Blanchards responded to the first post and the language, which seemed really uncharacteristic for Dee Dee. Then the phone calls went unanswered and several of their friends and concerned community members went to the house and they were all the knocks and answers, like they just went all unanswered. Dee Dee and Gypsy would leave for medical trips unannounced, but they saw that Dee Dee's car was still in the driveway, making that explanation seemingly unlikely. Protective film on the windows made it hard to see inside. In the act, which is obviously a dramatized story of Dee Dee and Gypsy's story, was this was after the welfare call had been made, so it was obviously to stop people looking into the house. Mm-hmm. No one answered the door, so they called 911. The police arrived and they had to wait for a search warrant to be issued so they could enter. But they allowed a neighbor present to climb through the window, where he saw the inside of the house was largely undisturbed and that all of Gypsy's wheelchairs were still present. When the warrant was issued, police entered the house and soon found Dee Dee's body. A GoFundMe account was set up to pay for her funeral expenses and possibly for Gypsy's as well, because they also thought that Gypsy was dead. All who knew the Blanchards well feared the worst, that even if Gypsy was unharmed, they believed that she would be helpless without her wheelchair, medication, support equipment like oxygen and her feeding tube. Mm-hmm. So Aaliyah, Gypsy's friend, was among those who gathered at the Blanchard's lawn, told police that she knew about Gypsy and her secret online boyfriend. She showed them the printouts that she had saved, in which included his name. Based on that info, police asked Facebook to trace the IP address from where the statuses had been made on Dee Dee and Gypsy's Facebook account, which led them to Wisconsin. And the next day, with the Waukesha County Police Station, they raided the Go-To John's Big Bend home. Both he and Gypsy surrendered, and they were taken into custody on the charges of murder and felony of armed criminal action. The news that Gypsy was safe was greeted with a lot of relief in Springfield. So Gypsy and Go-To John were then extradited back to Springfield, and were held on a $1 million bond. In announcing the news, Greene County Sheriff Jim Arnott warned that things are not always what they appear. Ooh. The media in Springfield reported the truth that the Blanchards' lives, that Gypsy had never actually been sick and had always been able to walk, and that Dee Dee had made her pretend otherwise using physical abuse to control her. Arnott urged people to not donate any more money to the family until investigators had learned the extent of the fraud. So we're at the trial. Shit. So after the disclosure of how Dee Dee had treated Gypsy all of those years, like, sympathy sort of poured in for Gypsy as being a victim of a violent, sympathy for Gypsy had like flooded in, saying that, the victim, far out, I can't read.
It's very
late. After the disclosure of how Dee Dee had treated Gypsy all of those years, sympathy for her as the victim of a violent murder rapidly shifted to her, as her daughter was a long-term victim of child abuse. While the charge of first-degree murder can carry the death penalty under Missouri law or life without parole, County Prosecutor Tan Patterson soon announced that he would not seek that for either Gypsy or Go-To John, calling the case extraordinary and unusual. You can fucking say that again,
yeah,
Dan.
Fucking hell.
After her attorney had obtained medical records from Louisiana, he secured a plea bargain to second-degree murder for Gypsy. So undernourished Gypsy was during the year she was in county jail, she actually gained 14 pounds, in the contrast of most of his clients who actually lose weight incarceration.
You gotta try hard to gain weight in prison. Like, they feed your cardboard.
That was how underfed Gypsy was.
God, that's horrible.
Like, that, it's so horrible. Go-To John still faced a more severe charge, as prosecutors contended that he initiated the murder plot. Both he and Gypsy agreed that he was the one who actually killed Dee Dee. Gypsy's plea bargain agreement did not actually require for her to testify against them. So January 2017, his trial was postponed when prosecutors requested a second psychiatric exam. His lawyers contended that he has an intelligence quotient, so an IQ. I didn't know that's what it stood for. Intelligence quotient.
We learned so many things on Murder in the Land of Oz.
So many fucking things. An intelligence quotient of 82, and was on the autism spectrum, and that suggested a diminished capacity. He had initially waived his right to a trial by jury, but changed his mind in June of 2017. So we're at December 2017. The judge set go to John's trial for November 2018. At opening arguments, prosecutors alleged that Goda John had deliberated for over a year before the crime, while his lawyers pointed to his autism and said that Gypsy had formulated the crime and their love-struck client had just done what she had asked. The next day, prosecutors showed jurors text messages, sometimes sexually explicit, that Gypsy and Goda John shared in the week before the murder, often using various personas as well as the knife he had used. In some of the texts, he asked for details about Dee Dee's room and sleeping habits. These were then supplemented by video of his interview with police after his arrest, where he admitted to having killed her. Gypsy testified on the trial's third day. She said that while she had indeed suggested to Goda John that he kill Dee Dee and end her mother's abuse, she also considered getting pregnant by him in the hopes that once she was carrying Goda John's child, Dee Dee would have to accept him.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the knife she eventually gave to Goda John, she stole baby clothes from Walmart during a shopping trip so she could go ahead with either plan. But she said Goda John never told her what he thought about the pregnancy plan. After 4 days, the case was then sent to a jury. Jurors had the option of finding Goda John not guilty or guilty for one of three murder charges: involuntary manslaughter, secondary degree murder, or first degree murder. After approximately 2 hours of deliberation, they returned with the verdict and Goda John was found guilty of first-degree murder and armed criminal action.
Yep. That's very questionable for somebody with an intelligence quotient of 82.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I feel pretty negative about that.
Yeah. In February 2019, he was sentenced to life in prison for the murder conviction, the only possible option since prosecutors had declined to seek the death penalty. Thank God, that poor kid. I mean, he murdered someone, but as you said,
82.
Goda John asked Judge David Jones for leniency on the armed criminal action charge, which carries a minimum sentence of only 3 years, saying he had fallen blindingly in love with Gypsy. He received a sentence of 25 years on that charge to run with the concurrent life sentence. Judge David Jones also denied a motion of Goda John's lawyer, Dwayne Perry, for a new trial. Perry argued that the jury should not have been allowed to hear that Goda John had considered raping Dee Dee the night of the murder. Oh, fuck. That the state psychologist should not have been allowed to testify while Goda John's psychologist should have, to establish that he had a diminished capacity. Mm. The judge, in denying the motion, conceded that an appeals could find the latter point significant and consider it to be a reversible error.
Mm.
So Gypsy is now serving her sentence in the Missouri's correctional center. She did not talk to the media until after she had made her plea. She told BuzzFeed reporter Michelle Dean that she had been able to research Munchausen by proxy on prison computers and that her mother had every symptom.
Mm-hmm.
Dee Dee, quote, said, I think she would have been the perfect mum for someone that was actually sick. She believed Dee Dee's claimed that she had cancer, even if she knew she could walk and eat solid food, leading her to assent to the regular head shavings. However, she always hoped that doctors would see through the ruse and that she was frustrated that none besides Flasistein did, and he was the one that actually still didn't report her to still didn't report Dee Dee to child services. When Michelle Dean asked her what made her want to escape the situation, Gypsy recalled the 2011 incident at the convention, which made her wonder why she wasn't allowed to have friends with others that were her age. She said that Goda John took their idle discussions of murder into reality. She accepts that she committed a crime and has to live with the consequences. Nonetheless, she feels freer in prison than she ever did before and hopes to help other abuse victims. Victims of Munchausen's by proxy abuse often avoid doctors and hospitals in their later lives due to a lingering trust issues. According to her family, Gypsy also exhibits at times the same sociopathic manipulative behaviors as her mother, who was for much of her life her only role model. She is already psychologically really compromised and she's going to need as much family underpinning and support as she can get. He also points out Her family also points out that post-traumatic stress disorder is likely to be an issue with her and her continuing development, but that she chooses to settle. They find somewhere that she can settle and she can find supportive psychotherapy. So her family is standing by her and she is up for parole in 2024.
Well, I hope she gets it.
And that is the murder of Dee Dee Blanchard.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I feel really... I remember because, like, this is recent. Like, we're talking 2015. Recent.
Yeah.
And I remember the story.
I remember reading the article in BuzzFeed when that, like, article first came out. That was, like, the first piece of media about it.
Yeah. And, like, I feel for that poor girl. Like, she's obviously been put through so much torment, but I also don't agree with killing the mother. I feel so bad for Gypsy that she had no one to stand up for her. That obviously Dee Dee was just so manipulative that people didn't think that they would be able to help
And
Gypsy. She was so underserved by the medical community and I feel so bad for her. Obviously, don't murder people. That's not the way to go.
Look, don't murder, but also it's probably a little bit justifiable if you've been abused your entire life.
Yeah.
Like the abuse that happened to her is like... You know, she's never going to be able to recover. Like,
it's absolutely horrific.
Absolutely horrific.
No, of course not. Of course not.
And something, you know, Hurricane Katrina destabilized so many people, but it was kind of like the thing that made Dee Dee be able to get away from it. And like, what a failure in the system.
With the excuse of like the documentation being, you know.
Yeah, we have no documentation.
Oh, because of Katrina. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can I've only seen two episodes so far, but definitely checked out The Act on Hulu. We've got
And Mummy, Dead and Dearest.
Oh, yes. That is a fucking stunning documentary. It was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
so, yeah, it's been a case that I've been really fascinated with. I've gotten my housemate Kaylee hooked on it too. So, yeah, let me know what other, like, just famous homicides you'd like me to talk about because I like doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're our patron, so you can tell us to do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. If you want me to sing you a song, I will. Not tonight, because I've been talking way too much.
Dancing monkeys.
Thank you guys so much for subscribing to our Patreon. Your support means so much to us. I'm not crying. I just have something stuck in my throat, which is annoying me. The support is invaluable and very much appreciated, and we love you for it, you know?
Yeah, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. You keep this podcast open. You're picking up the slack of all the other subscribers. Just kidding.
Just kidding. So thank you so much. Make sure you tell your other Mitlu fan friends to subscribe to the Patreon and you can pick and choose your rewards and we would love to hear from you. Make sure you email us and let us know what you like and what you don't like because we'll do your bidding.
And have a chat with us on the Patreon page.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, we will.
Also, we should get that book club
started. We're sluts. If you give us money, we'll do whatever.
Actually, I have a book recommendation.
Yes, book club.
Can I put...
Is it
Zealot? It's Zealot by Jo Thornley. You all should fucking read it. And she has a fucking stunning podcast called Zealot, and it's great. And you should all read. And you should all listen to it too. Righto. We've been talking for way
Sounds
too
good
long
to me.
Tonight.
Let's do it.
Ellen, I love you. I miss you.
Love you too.
Can't wait for you to come up in 2 months' time. Mm-hmm. Or less than that. Month and a half.
Going to be stunning.
Yeah. Well, we love you, stunners. Have a good night or morning or wherever whenever you're listening to this. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Stalking is prevalent in Australia. There are hundreds of cases reported every year. These people's existence have been besieged by a stalker. Survivors often are voiceless and have no place to tell their stories. This podcast has given a voice to those victims, a place to tell their stories. Hopefully, we can help others who are in this terrible situation to fight back. I'm Anne McMahon. And this is Stalking Australia.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.